Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Trifles podcast. Hello, 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 hello. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Oh, not bad.
Just great.
Been playing XCOM. It's nice to be back playing that.
I saw that. Man, I haven't played in a long time, and you almost wet my whistle, but it just, you know, sometimes, like, when you're in the middle of something else and you just like, I can't start playing that. I can't invest all of my time into that game that I would love to invest more time into,
but
it'll happen.
Like, I want to do a long war playthrough, but it's such a long, like, I know it's, the clue is in the name, but it's literally hundreds of hours to get through. It's so many missions.
Yeah.
And they're bringing out a long War of the Chosen, which is like a sequel that incorporates War of the Chosen.
Yeah.
And that's, they said 200 to 300 hours for the playthrough. That's as much time as I have in XCOM.
There's
got to
be
insane.
Something new for XCOM coming soon, right? The
ending
of
XCOM
2 was, definitely pointed towards more XCOM action. There's probably more they could do with, like, DLC and stuff like that. Man, XCOM 2 has been such a great game.
It has. It's
everything
one of my
they've
top
done
five.
With it. Yeah,
I love
it. It's really good.
But, so, and there's Phoenix Point is coming out later this year, which is made by Julian Gollop. So people call it an XCOM-alike game. I just want to point something out. Julian Gollop practically invented this genre with Rebel Star Raiders back in the 80s on the Spectrum, okay? That game was very simple. Rebel Star Raiders 2 was much better. It was amazing. Like, it, for its time, it was absolutely groundbreaking. And Laser Squad and games like that. These XCOM games should really be called Laser Squad style games. But of course, Laser Squad is a game that has been lost in time. People have forgotten about it. But it had turn-based combat. And on the Spectrum, you had to aim with a cursor. And so the bullets wouldn't travel in, like, up, down, left, right, or diagonals. They would actually travel on a vector and hit the target. It was really amazing for the time. And it was really tense. It was one map. You started on the left. You were humans. And you had to get through this jungle area, across a river, to the dropship, and get on the dropship and escape. And if you could, you needed to go into the alien hive, steal some eggs, and take them with you for extra points. Now, you could play it two-player. One person plays as the humans, one person plays as the aliens. The aliens were obviously based on the aliens from the movie Aliens, but for some reason they were equipped with bows and arrows and spears, which I don't understand. But it was a legendary game. It was so good. Me and my friend William just played it for hours and hours and hours and hours. So Julian Gollop, I'm looking forward to Phoenix Point because he's a legend.
That doesn't mean anything.
What
right?
do you mean?
Like, well, inventing a franchise 30 years ago and making... It doesn't mean that you will still be able to make something... sometimes people only have one original idea ever in their whole life. Do you know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Yeah, look at Steve Jobs.
I'm waiting for mine. And, you know, one day... Hopefully I'll have that, and, you know, it'll be huge. But I think that I have played Phoenix Point. I played it last week on stream with Ben. Got a nice backer build. It's actually looking pretty good. It's pretty cool. It's quite different. Stands out on its own from XCOM. It feels like XCOM. You know, you got a globe, you got a base, you got interceptors, you got dudes. You equip them, you send them out to kill aliens. They kill aliens. You bring stuff back, research it. Do autopsies.
I liked
it's great.
That.
So what's your point?
My point is that, you know, just because Julian Gollop's attached to it doesn't mean it's going to be any good or not, though. Could be terrible still.
Yeah.
But I respect him for making XCOM and founding it. But, you know, I think the new XCOM games were amazing.
Well, you know what, guys? As much as you like him, just imagine him taking a shit. That's what my grandma used to always say. Just say
about Wayne Gretzky, right?
You think that guy's great? Just imagine him taking a shit. I bet she doesn't seem so great now. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
It's imagining somebody taking shit really does sort of dispel the mystique around the person, because you just realize he just takes shits just like I do.
Do you know what?
His are probably better than mine, though.
My eldest daughter yesterday, my kids are talking about farting because they tease each other about farting a lot. And my eldest was teasing my youngest that when she's drifting off to sleep, she farts a lot because they share a room at the moment.
Right.
So she was defending herself, but they were kind of laughing and stuff like that. And then I said to them, look, everybody farts, even the queen. And my eldest daughter's head sort of snapped round. She said, what? She goes, you told me that the queen didn't fart. And I said, when did I tell you this? And she said, you told me that they have to do a special test to see if you can become the queen. And if you fart, you're not allowed to become the queen. So the queen doesn't fart. And I was laughing because it sounds exactly like the kind of stuff I would have said. Just to wind her up, she still believed it. She'd believed it for years.
Man.
Like, she genuinely thought that was the truth. And I realized the power of parenthood.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was so funny.
I always imagine that the queen does fart a lot, but because she's not really a normal person. You know, like in the media and stuff, they always like, you know, like the Daily Mail and the Sun and all those like papers. They always try to make the royals seem like normal people, right? But they're not. They're just like, they live on their own fucking planet. Like, they're completely different and stuff. So I always imagine that, yeah, the queen farts, but she probably has like some weird like perversion that she thinks is totally normal, but that if anybody else like found out about it, they would be mortified, right? Like, she probably like farts into a pipe that's like attached to like you know, like Jeeves's face or something in like five rooms away or something like that, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably something, but she probably thinks it's normal because like mama always did it or something.
Yeah,
you know,
we've always done it.
Like, I must find my farting pipe, and then she has to like shuffle over to the pipe and fart, and she just thinks that that's normal or whatever. But like, you know, visitors and stuff, like they have to like hide her away when there's like guests over and stuff, because they're like, oh fuck no, not the fart pipe again. Like, Jesus Christ, like, how are we gonna break this to her? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like all the royals have like isms like that, maybe not as extreme as that, you know what I mean? But like, you know, in the paper, they're always like, oh, William and Kate are starting to show real signs of being parents. No, they're fucking not. Like, they have fucking like 20 nannies. Like, there's no fucking way they're doing anything other than just like putting on a tuxedo and going to fucking dinners every day or whatever they do. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's what I think's making them fart. All the fancy fucking dinners and shit.
Fucking broccoli,
you know,
for every meal. Like, loads will of
random
catch up
fucking
to you, yeah.
Shit. You know, every day there's probably some weird fancy shit like, oh, you know, today we're going to eat like, you know, humongous giant rabbit steak or whatever. It's like, oh, fucking hell. The queen's like, oh, Jesus Christ, what am I eating today?
Yeah.
Like some fucking weird vegetables have been gifted to me by, you know, someone, some Pacific Island nation coming over and visiting.
Yeah.
You know, oh, hello, yeah, I'll eat your weird thing. Oh, God, I know this is going to give me the farts later. I'm going to have to fight in that pipe.
Yeah.
Jeeves is going to love it. Yeah, I reckon they do have all these weird traditional royal weird things that they you don't realize they do.
Yeah.
You see this whenever you go around like any old museum or house or like noble place, and they're like, yes, this is where the family would get together around the shared whipping post.
Yeah.
And they
it's
would
always
all whip
eccentric
each other.
As fuck, isn't it?
It's like, what?
Because they're not grounded in any sort of reality. They're just so filthy fucking rich that they've just set themselves apart from everybody. And then isolated themselves into their manor and then just developed these weird fucking things. Like a kid would do with like a game or something, right? Like if you leave a kid alone in a room for like 10 hours with like a battleship, you're going to come out of that situation after 10 hours. That game isn't going to even look like Battleship anymore, right? They're just going to have invented all these fucking weird rules and shit like that around it. And like there'll be some like pillows and hitting and stuff involved and like all sorts of crap. It's the same with rich people in their mansions.
Yeah, you have to wear
a hat.
Do
you guys ever wonder if we could go 100 years into the future, what would games be like? Would they be the same? Because were we playing in 1919? Similar kind of games to the ones we're playing now. What were people doing as games?
Probably
that's what I wonder.
Lots of dice stuff, right? Like, when did they invent dice? It was a long time ago. It had to have been.
When did dice? That's how
dice.
It looked.
You want me to ask Alexa?
I'm looking it up.
Alexa!
I'm already on it.
When were dice invented?
The Romans had dice.
Dice have been used since before recorded history, and it's uncertain where they originated. It's theorized that dice developed from the practice of fortune-telling with the talus of hoofed animals, colloquially known as knucklebones. The Egyptian game of Sinic was played with two-sided throw sticks, which indicated the number of squares a player could move, and thus functioned as a form of dice.
Wow.
Well, there you go. Bet you couldn't Google that answer.
I'm literally reading it now.
Oh.
I'm reading exactly what she just said, the stuff about knucklebones and all the rest of it.
All right.
There was a 20-sided die? from Ptolemaic Egypt. They played Dungeons and Dragons back then.
They had dragons back then. And dungeons.
And dungeons, yeah.
I think people who used dice were like the hardcore gamers of the time. And then everybody else probably just threw rocks into like hoops and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, or like, you know,
farted in a pipe and then like took turns sniffing it.
I don't know when cards would have been invented, but I think they would have been more like a casual gamer's go-to.
I mean, I think one of the things is with cards and card games, of course, you would have had to have a consistency. So you would have had to have, for cards to be widespread, like the playing cards that we have, you'd need to have consistency of game.
Yeah.
Because you want to go, when you play poker in Texas, you want it to be the same as the poker that you play in London, barring whatever minor local changes there would be.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that required a bit more development in terms of communication and travel before that kind of stuff. But dice, I mean, you know, that's, it means, you know, you just have a dice. It has numbers on. There's no rules. You can just say, hey, let's roll a dice and the highest number wins. Just keep doing that. You know, you could go from there.
I think there's always been an element of gambling in games, though, even back then, right? Like I'd imagine that most people would play games with like wagers of some description, right? Like dice games or card games or anything like that. But, you know, like nowadays we have like, you know, these big elaborate board games and stuff like that. Sure, you could still maybe do wagers on them or whatever, but I don't know. I guess part of the appeal, human nature, I think we want like an element of risk and gambling in a game, right? And like,
well, yeah, I mean, otherwise it's not a game. Like there are games that don't involve, that are pure skill, like chess and poker and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That people play for serious money and treat almost like a sport. Because I think any time that you arrive at a game where it's like, we can actually play this competitively, the main thing that's missing is randomness. Like if you think about most of the sports, there is always a slight element of luck, if you like, but not in the same way that there is with, say, dice, because dice are so unpredictable in a way that you need to build your strategy around mitigating against that rather than sort of really relying on it. I think, you know, if you think about something like Scrabble, There's luck to there, essentially, where you might draw good tiles or bad tiles.
Yeah, true.
But I don't know.
Yeah, there's no fun in a game where it has a solution. I mean, that's just sort of a Rubik's Cube, isn't it, really? Or whatever, like, you know, I mean, that's obviously a complex solution. But I think you're right. Like, I read that playing cards had been around for fucking ages. Like, I remember that I was reading something about Agincourt, like in the Middle Ages, and like, The troops were like playing cards then, that kind of era.
Yeah, I mean, geez. And also, what else are they going to do? There's no TV.
I think it was like, I think it was just like a thing that was a substitute for money in a sense, the cards. But also, I think they were just something like Sip says, like just people were bored. Like being a soldier, even back then, I think was just high level boredom a lot of the time.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Like overexcited boredom or something? That there's a phrase they use to describe it. But it's like a lot of doing nothing.
Hurry
a lot
up
of being
and
like
something like
trying
that.
To figure out ways to distract yourself. And I think like sitting around in a, you know, communal area with cards has been going for thousands of years.
So
ancient
China in 9 AD, there was, because this was a big thing, printing technology, woodblock printing means that you can have a consistency. So the cards are the same. So when you go play with someone from another town or whatever, and you're playing, you know, your deck of cards is recognizable to them as certain characters. I mean, if you think about a deck of cards now, the pictures of the king and the queen and all that are pretty much, unless it's the Yogscast brand deck of cards, which is available.
Oh, yeah, and then you don't know who is who on them.
Then it's different. But there needs to be some consistency. So printing presses and stuff like that obviously had to come in. Whereas a dice is just a lot easier, I think. That's why I think dice obviously came first. It is weird to think that there is obviously a real drive in people to play games.
Yeah.
Like it's such a consistent thing. People get bored. They sit around and they think, well, look, we could just talk to each other for hours. Most people can't play a musical instrument. If I could play the guitar really well or sing really well, I'd just do that all the time. Like that would be great. But because I can't do anything, I play games. And it's just, it fills my time. It entertains me. It gives you a chance to hang out with other people and do something. Because otherwise you're just sitting there and I think night after night after night talking to people. Yeah. That would actually, you'd run out of shit to say. As we do often on this podcast, we only have to talk once a week.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, it's because I don't know about you guys, but like, man.
We do nothing.
Not much happens in my life. I don't really go anywhere. I don't really do anything. I don't change it up much. You know what I mean?
Because we don't talk about politics and stuff like that. Obviously, that's a changing thing. We avoid politics.
I don't really follow
God.
Politics much, to like enough to talk about them anyway. Like, I know so little about politics. Like I only hear like major things, and even then, I never look into it. Like, I know
the thing is, most people don't follow politics. People like to think they do, that they follow it and they understand it. I follow it. I don't understand a lot of it.
We don't understand.
It's just you just have to stand at the side and hope it all works out. And you know, that's pretty much the best we can do. But I don't even think about it. I find it's very stressful.
I think about gaming and I always think about it like the Sims bars, right? You have like these needs in your life, and ever since, you know, we ask the same animals that we've been since the Stone Age. You know, you're always hungry. You need to have like, you need to pee. You've got like a bladder bar that gets slowly filled up. You need to, like, you know, go to the toilet sometimes. You've got a hygiene bar, you know, you feel much better after you've had a shower. Like, and then you've got like an energy bar, you've got like a social bar, you know, and then you've got like a
sexual
kind of
desire bar.
Yeah, like exactly. That sort of builds up, and then you need to, you know, release that sometimes. It's you've got all these like things you have to kind of keep in balance. And I think sometimes, you know, you want to read a book and just be left alone, but sometimes you want to fucking, you know, do something socializing with people. And I think that doing that physically is something which we don't get so easily as people in our world now with video games and kind of the, you know, Netflix and, you know, mobile phones. Pornhub, it's so easy to kind of
that, yeah.
Yeah, like it's tough to like get that social interaction. I think board games are a great way to do it. Like, I was talking to Daft just this morning, and he was like, oh man, I've been away and I really want to, really got an itch to play a board game. And I was like, we should start doing board game nights again. Because we did them quite regularly. You know, when
fun.
You were down, Sips, we played a bunch of board games.
We went around to good a friend's fun. House last weekend, actually. We played a game called San Francisco Streetcar, I think it's called.
Okay.
Which is like a tile placement game. Like, I remember I used to play a lot of board games because video games weren't very good when we were kids. Like, they were okay. And there were some great ones, but they weren't great for multiplayer stuff and hanging out. We used to play a lot of board games. It's great to me that even though video games have had a massive growth, board games have also come back in a big way. There's loads of board games. I think Settlers of Catan is a prime example of a game that I think is great. I played it at the weekend, and I hadn't played it in years. It is such a fun game. Like, it's really nice and relaxing.
Catan. I mean, it's just a good fine. Game. Like, I think it's fine to play it once. Like, these games are not, I can't play them over and over again, or else you go fucking insane. Like, every time, if I go to my nan's and I have to play Scrabble, I just, like grab my head and I'm like, oh god.
You don't, if it's like been Scrabble. Like,
I can play Scrabble. My Scrabble bar only needs to be refilled about once every 6 fucking months. Do you know what I mean? And I can only play one game and it's completely refilled.
You know what,
I do not need to play multiple games of Scrabble.
My wife's grandmother said to her one time, because she loved Scrabble. Both of my wife's grandparents, like, they loved Scrabble. And I remember one time she said to me, do you play Scrabble at home? And I said, oh no, Maddie doesn't like it. And she turned to her and said, if your husband wishes to play Scrabble, you must play Scrabble.
And I thought, see, that's one of those queenly things. I bet you that's exactly a thing that the queen has.
It's just so
and she's
funny,
like,
the idea
if
that
Philip wishes to play Scrabble, one must play Scrabble.
Yeah. That's what a good wife does. And I'm thinking, maybe in those days, you know, playing Scrabble was like code for something. And she was, you know, reading into it. Look, if your husband wants to play Scrabble, you got to let him
pocket
play Scrabble.
Scrabble.
Yeah, he can go to Pocket Scrabble if he wants to fucking Scrabble.
Oh, man. Fucking, oh, my, on the topic of Scrabble, but without any innuendo, my dad really likes Scrabble and always has. He's always played like Scrabble against like our neighbors and everything from like as far back as I can remember. But now with the internet and Facebook, he could play Scrabble with all sorts of people. And not only that, he has like, I'm not even joking, like 100 games of Scrabble on the go at any one time.
Wow.
Like I saw his iPad one time when he was over here. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, I'm playing Scrabble. And in the sidebar, I'm not even joking, there was like 100 open games with like my uncles and aunts and like older neighbors and friends, and like he's just kept in contact with this like Scrabble network throughout the years, like despite moving a bunch of times and stuff.
Oh, is that the app where you can just play and then you wait for them to
you do your turn
down.
And
yeah.
then you just wait, and then like
I've
the
seen
game
Duncan
might
playing that.
Last for like a year if not, like he's had a couple where he's like, oh yeah, this person just never did their next move, it's like a year old. okay Like, it's pretty funny. I just find that pretty funny. It's just like this graveyard of Scrabble games.
Yeah, it's like, imagine if you did that in real life, right? And you had like a fucking, like a sports hall filled with tables and like chess games.
Yeah.
And like all of your friends at a different chess table. And some of them are just like, you know, fucking left to go on holiday for 2 weeks. Other people were there like hanging on, like checking the app like every day to see if you've made your move yet. You know, oh, that's crazy.
And every once in a while, there's a table with somebody like hanging over it, like in a, like a noose, like a hangman noose dead. And those are people that he's beaten at Scrabble in like some weird
shit.
Fucking alternate reality.
Oh, I thought you meant they'd like looked at the Scrabble app.
Scrabble
like,
is
oh,
a
God,
very
high
stakes game. It's like this room. God, that's morbid as fuck, isn't it?
That must happen, actually. Like people must realize on the app that they've lost and then there's no point in carrying on.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't want to press retire. They just let it.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. That's the thing about people. Like I found myself doing this too. Like if I find something that I'm not sure what to deal with, or like it's awkward in some way, I just won't respond rather than giving them like telling them straight. You know, it happens a lot in life, in like a lot of situations where someone comes to you and says something and you're kind of like, I got a lot of emails that are like half hanging. Like a guy came to me and he's like, oh, you know, I've come up with this board game idea, and I was like, oh yeah, let me have some details. And he sent me this huge long thing and about his board game that he designed. It sounds really interesting, blah blah blah. He wrote all this stuff anyway, and I've replied and I made a draft, and I realized I'd never sent it because he sent me an email this morning again, like, just, you know, by the way, did you get my email, blah blah blah. And I just sat there this morning looking at this draft and just thought, I don't know how to respond. And I just didn't respond again. It's just half written draft and it's just going to stay there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel a little bit bad about it, but not really, because sometimes I don't know whether taking action is worse and shutting down someone's idea or telling them it like it is, you know, or like, you know, be like, we're not really interested. You should probably just, here's my advice. You just don't do this. I know what I want to say, but I kind of sometimes just don't want to do it.
Is I get
that,
you.
Like, yeah, I get it a lot. Like a lot of the time, like sometimes a lack of response is the default no, right? Because if I'm passionate about something, I'll reply and I'll be actively yeah, definitely reply to this. And they're like, oh, coming up with ideas, like filling out the email thread. But then sometimes I'll just like go cold and go silent. I think most people will realize that that means no. But sometimes you talk to people and they don't get that no response means no. Do you know what I mean?
I guess some people just think like...
You're busy.
They just need like a yes or a no sort of thing. So they'll just keep trying, because sometimes, you know, people are just busy and they haven't replied for whatever reason. You just keep trying, I guess. I can see both sides.
It's like there's like unwritten rules, right? Like, for example, one of them is when you meet somebody new, okay... and it doesn't necessarily have to be of the opposite sex, but it can. But it usually is, right? And at a certain point, you have to drop into conversation that you have a partner, for example, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys have wedding rings, so it's easier.
Yeah, I just whip that bad boy off in before I start social situations, though. It's a thrill of the hunt, you know what I mean? Like, I like to still play the field.
You get up to your hotel room, you leave all the bedside table,
when
you
we get
down to the
really,
bar.
Really close to hanky-panky, that's when I do the big reveal, awkwardly.
Right.
Yeah, no, I wear just, it around my penis.
Yeah,
I wear
that's
it around
me
penis.
Too.
Like,
yeah.
So if it comes to the crunch, they're like, oh.
Sorry.
Like, yeah. The thing is, I haven't had any... I don't know if it's because I'm obviously married, or because... I'm just so hideously unattractive. I haven't had a woman approach me in any way, shape, or form for such a long time.
I would say for me, in my whole life. So it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's literally Mrs. F.
Yeah.
And like a handful of other women. And then I think the rest of them, the message, you know, news got out. This guy's hideous. Ignore him. He's ugly. He's definitely going to go bald.
Yeah.
Probably a nerd. Don't go near him. And yeah, when they all got the memo, and that was it. No women have ever hit on me since at any event I've ever been to, any time.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Right.
Same. I've never like had a. Actually, I have done, but it's always while I've been either with my wife or not married or married to my wife. And like a couple of like little things have happened where I've just been like, nope, and like walked away sort of thing, you know, like before, like, you know what I mean? You don't want to like ever even like even chance it, right? Like if somebody like is trying to talk to you and you know that there's like some like intent behind it or whatever. So you're just like, I'll just like not put myself in that situation at all sort of thing.
Well, that is it. Like it's that being, it's aware of that being awkward. It's happened to be like a lot less since I've been older, but certainly when I was younger, it was a thing where like, you know, I'd be hanging out with some group of new people that I'd met, and I'd be chatting to a girl, and she'd, you know, just drop in, she'd just drop into conversation, like as a sort of before it got like, before we sort of bonded too much. I don't know that, you know, or like you meet someone at a Twitch party or whatever, and you start chatting to them, and this happened at Gamescom. You know, I was chatting to this girl, and like at a certain point, she just sort of dropped in like, oh yeah, me and my boyfriend do this. And it was kind of out of the blue. It was kind of not, it was almost like a very hard segue into it, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, didn't really fit as part of the conversation. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah. And then I did like a hard left as well. And I was like, oh yeah, me and my girlfriend do this thing as well. Oh yeah, we really love to do this. You know, and it was kind of like both. And then we just carried on and had like a really nice chat after that, like, for a while. But it was kind of like, I don't know, like did you ever those types of social weird like kind of interactions, it's awkward because you don't want to be the one who says it first necessarily, but you kind of, you don't want to lead someone on or whatever, like it's a bit of a weird, I don't know, I just, it just happened to me at Gamescom and it was a bit weird.
I don't really socialize much, so it, like, it's not a problem for me. I just, you know,
certainly
what I mean?
Not with people I don't know.
Yeah, that's another thing. I don't really talk to, like, if some, like, people I don't know, I'm very sort of like, you know, surfacey. I'm more like polite and stuff like that. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, like, I don't know. I'm older. I don't need people. I don't need more people in my life. I've made my own people. I've got my crew and stuff. Like, I don't need new friends. Like, I don't need new.
Oh, it's really nice to meet new people, though. I had a really nice time chatting to some new people at Gamescom because they haven't heard all of your stories before.
I find it exhausting, actually.
Yeah, but you're incredibly lazy, Sips.
That's true. Yeah, fuck, I am super lazy.
And they've got new insights and stuff into stuff. You could tell them about the bathtub, Sips. You know, just think, like, there's this whole fertile ground of people who haven't heard the bathtub story. And, you know, you could just regale them with that.
True.
You know, make their day.
Like, true. A raconteur, you know, just holding court. So, I found the bath plug simply wouldn't come out.
Listen to this, okay? And I hate to big up people for doing this because it's not very nice. But, okay, listen to this. I've been doing karaoke recently. I don't know if you guys have seen.
I've noticed.
Me
yep.
and Rabs yeah. doing karaoke. Twitch things,
it's been,
which has been
amazing,
really fun.
We've been
and,
watching a lot.
So
of
there's
it.
This. So at one point early on, I was, you know, because you can do duets, right? And the way the duets yeah. work is you record your side of a duet, it gets posted, and then anybody else can then do like part two of your duet. So duet with you, but it's not in real time. Like yours is pre-recorded. Then they have that as like a guide for the rest of their part of the song, right? And then those yeah. get mashed together, posted up as one duet sort of thing. It's really clever. The whole system is fantastic. So I said early on, fuck me, it'd be so funny if like you posted a duet and then you saw that a new duet come up in your feed and you went to watch it and it was just some dude like totally not interested in Twitch things. He's just like eating his lunch like during his parts.
I saw that video.
Whatever,
that was
right?
funny.
Like it was just like a you know, like offhand comment, like, oh, that would be pretty funny, right? So this guy in my chat called Thunder_555555555 does that to me, right? I post a duet, he's like, and there's a whole bunch of new duets the next day, I watch it, and when his part comes to sing, he just starts eating yogurt. He's just like fucking staring into the camera, like not singing any of his parts, and like eating fucking porridge or yogurt or some shit. And it was really funny. So like, it became known as thundering somebody. So like, me and Ravs would occasionally thunder each other on songs that we didn't know or whatever, you know, like Ravs would just like go to bed during his parts, or like I would just like leave the room during my parts and stuff. And it became known as a thunder, right? And so these things have become more and more elaborate, right? Like anything, they've evolved. So it's evolved from thundering to like super thunders, okay? So this guy yesterday, Dale K, posts a duet against one of my songs, and it was Rhythm as a Dancer, which was a troll pick anyway. I did part two because there's like these long ass parts where there's no singing, right? So I picked part two because Ravs had to do the chorus bit, but in between the chorus, there's like 45 bars of just dance music and no singing. So you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs, right? So Dale Kay does a duet on this song, right? And during those long 45 bar things, he fucking tells the bath plug story as this thunder. Unfucking real. Like there's this big lead up, like, so there I am, you know, I'm feeling pretty dirty and stuff. And so I decide to have a bath. And like the whole fucking story, like condensed into 45 bars of techno music with no singing. Fuck me. So Dale Kay and Thunder, if you're listening, thanks for the laughs, but you're both banned. I'm sorry. I've had enough.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Get out.
I think it's fair, isn't it? I think it's fair.
No, yeah. I think you're justified in that ban.
Yeah. I love that side of it, though. I love that something like Twitch things exists and that you could have like these little fucking like things within it, like almost like little memes or something in it, like that your community makes
or
whatever.
That to me is what I hope that Twitch does more of that kind of stuff, that innovative, you know, because just give it a go. If it doesn't work out, nobody likes it. What have you really lost? It's not that much technology to set it up.
Sure.
It's like a video and then it plays back and you see it live and do yours. It's not, I mean, obviously work went into it. I'm not saying it didn't, but that's not impossible. So there could be more stuff like that.
Yeah, there could be for sure. Like it's awesome though. It's such a funny, it's just such a well thought out thing. And you know, you can tell that like the people behind it have like put a lot of like thought and effort into it.
Man, you know what? I want to talk about streaming a tiny bit. It's funny we should talk about Twitch. Last night, I got really angry playing CSGO with a guy I played. His name is Bob. I play games with him all the time.
Yeah. And, Bob Cinny.
Bob Skinny, yeah.
Bob Skinny.
He's a top lad. I make fun of him being a Geordie all the time and doing that stupid accent. Hey, Bob, even though he's from Sunderland.
I never had him pegged as a... I didn't know where he was from, but I didn't...
He's a Macam, so he's from Sunderland. He's a really nice lad. Played games with him for years. Really got angry with him, and I feel like... I mean, first of all, I apologize. And anytime I get angry with people, I apologize. I play games like Dota and CSGO. They're very intense, concentration-based games, and you're not really... I'm not myself when I'm playing those games. Like when I'm playing XCOM and I'm alone, way more chill because it's just me and the computer, and I don't care if I lose. It's not that bad. It's funny, and the story that emerges is funny, and I like that. Sometimes when you're playing a single player game, I feel like the failure is part of the story. Whereas when I'm playing multiplayer games, I get very competitive,
right,
and my brain switches and I stop acting the way I normally do. I don't find it relaxing and chill. I find it very stressful, and I sometimes get angry with people. And the other thing is when you're streaming, your failures are being watched by people, like having someone over your shoulder, but having rooms full of people over your shoulder all watching, and when you mess up, they're all laughing. That's what it feels like sometimes as a streamer. Part of it is that's the point, and I like that. And when I mess up and chat is going, you know, having a laugh, that's great. That's the point of it. But it's like tiny little attacks on your brain. I think that's the only way I can explain it.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah,
it's just like little micro, what are they called, microaggressions, right? But it's not aggressions, it's just people laughing the way they would at anything. I wouldn't stream if I couldn't handle it, but my brain is obviously having trouble with it.
It's like this for everyone, right? Like I got angry with Ben a couple of times this week, and I looked back at it like yesterday, and I was like, oh my God.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
But it was because like there were, you know, he obviously was doing this thing. He was like, I'll save Lewis some time by doing this. And then because he didn't really like run any of it by me, it caused all of this extra work for me and all this extra drama for me. And he didn't realize any of that. And so I was like, oh, you know. I was also like very much a lot of it was just like extrapolating out possible worries, you know, like when you have anxiety and things like this about things, often someone will get a little bit worried about something, but then they'll extrapolate that worry out to, oh, you know, so, oh, but obviously if we don't paint this, then what happens if it all gets filled with mold and then all the insects will come and then the house will fall down and then we'll have to live in a sewer and then I'll get bitten by rats and then I'll get fucking rabies and then I'll be foaming at the mouth and then no one will want to kiss me. Do you know what I mean? Like it kind of runs down this mad line of like, well, you don't like, it's not, you know, like, you don't worry about all that, but that happens in your unconscious, right?
Yeah.
And like often you can forgive people who seem to be irrationally mad about something because they've got these all these unconscious anxieties that they don't even necessarily realize they're holding on to because they haven't had a chance to digest that stuff and like just give it a bit of time and let that heal and like get put into boxes in your brain. Anyway, sorry, P-Flax, I'm interrupting.
No, not at all.
Go on. So you and Bob fell out.
You and Bob fell out.
Yeah, I just feel like part of it is it's weird because from a viewer's perspective, I find that when I'm watching Twitch streams, I fall into the same attitude that the viewers generally do. But when you're doing it, you kind of it changes your mentality a little bit, even if you don't realize it. Especially depending on the game you're playing. So I kind of think like I've been playing so much Dota and CS that it's actually just it's just too stressful to do it every day. So that's why I've started doing XCOM because of the, you know, the panic attacks and stuff like that.
Much less stressful.
XCOM is way less stressful.
Well, the other thing with XCOM as well is that it's a single player game. So you don't you're not it's not as competitive. You know, you don't have other people that you might just start like screaming at because you're mad or whatever.
But the main thing is time. For me, it's time. The reaction time in XCOM is as long as you want.
Yeah.
You can sit there and plan out your turn and think, and you can take your time and look at what everybody's got and plan everything.
Yeah.
And I like that. Whereas in Dota, there's no time. You have no time.
Yeah. As someone who's a parent, I'm sure you definitely value games where you're not under the pressure of people constantly waiting on you. You know, I've uninstalled WoW Classic, and one of the main reasons I did was because I realized that I was playing with other people and they were constantly waiting on me.
You know,
like, it's like if I want to go and have a break for 5 minutes, I kind of have to, you know, say goodbye to someone and awkwardly let them go, or like I can't just stop because I've got all these people waiting for me to like go through this instance or whatever. Like, you know, I think when you play Dota, when you play like these multiplayer games that you sign up for an hour or whatever to like give your 100% of your attention to them.
Yeah.
And you feel bad if you don't, you know, it's not as convenient as something which is pausable, you know, as almost every other game is really. But I think that that's partly why those games are so addicting, you know, like WoW and Dota, like how they hook you in because of that very, oh, let me just, I just need to play it for another hour to finish off this. And then the more hours you've sunk in, the more you realize that you want to come back and,
well,
and
it's what my mate, Ken was, he used a term I hadn't heard before. I'm sure other people have heard it. It's like time to reward.
Right. I've never heard
so
of it.
So how much, it's like an equation, like time over reward. So how much time before a reward on screen in the game? The example he was using was Dota Underlords. The time to reward ratio is insane. It's such a short amount of time between rewards.
Right.
So the reward might not be anything amazing, but when you finish the round and you see your units pop up, in that moment, it's like opening a loot box or opening a mystery envelope or something. You don't know what's in there. Suddenly you could end up with a level 3 Slark or whatever, or, you know, a key unit you've been wanting appears. The time to reward is very short, and in World of Warcraft, it's the same. Every time you kill something, you open that little loop thing, and there might be something cool in there.
Yeah, and you're leveling up, and you're getting new skills. I mean, it's a classic gaming thing, but I mean, actually, in World of Warcraft, interesting you say that, because there is an example of, you know, you are trying to kill a boss for 6 hours, you don't kill him, or you finally do, and then you have this incredible kind of...
It's a release,
reward
right?
At the end,
it's like, wow,
everyone,
look at this.
You know, at least
it
originally it was like that. You know, you used to bang your head against it for a long time to try and get this thing, and you eventually would. I think some people are much, much more susceptible to that high
reward. But it's human nature. Like, these games are designed, especially mobile games, they're designed around time to reward. Like Candy Crush, when I see my wife play that, it's just constant flashing lights and, wow, aren't you amazing? For pretty much every few swipes, so like there's animations
and
stuff.
Some of my friends don't like regular games because they don't think that they have, they just don't like them. And they only play games where they do get this high time to reward kind of thing, actually. I have noticed it before.
Yeah.
It's
crazy,
really,
right?
Interesting.
But yeah, with Dota, the time to reward might be 45 minutes. Because the only real release in Dota is when the enemy fountain goes down. Because up until that point, you can lose.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stress of it. With CSGO, it's a bit easier because you can win a round. Even with pistols against full-stack guys, you can win. So that, you know, the reward is round by round. You're getting a win. And when you win, you get more money. You can get the guns you want and all the rest of it. You pull off a sick shot on the next round. All right, you might die the next round. But in 2 minutes, you'll be back on your feet and you can play again. So it's faster time to reward to Dota. Whereas Dota is very much, all right, you hit a creep, you get some money. There's a little reward there. But in the back of your mind, you know, you're playing this for 40, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe more.
Yeah.
And all that hard work might be for nothing because the loss is so crushing because it's so much time invested and so much concentration and teamwork and effort. And then you lose sometimes based on one error. So it's brutal. It's absolutely
Dota,
brutal.
Dota is one of those games where you can get these incredible highs, but equally these incredible lows. Like, I don't think I've ever felt more depressed playing a game in my life than at points playing
Dota 2. It's incredibly harsh. It's brutal.
It is brutal, yeah. I mean, it is fun when you get into it.
I think it's definitely a mirror, though. You wouldn't have the highs without the lows.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's the weird thing about it. But it does. Are the highs high enough to warrant having to go through the lows?
Yes.
And I think a lot of people think they are.
Since we talked about gaming so much this podcast, let me just say quickly before we end, man, Rust is fantastic. They've changed it a lot over the years, and it's really good right now.
Like, when was the last time you played it?
Probably the last time we all played it. Like two years ago or something.
Popularized it.
Yeah, it's great now. I've actually got a new computer coming before the end of this month. It's a beast. It's an absolute beast. I got overclockers to build it for me, and I got my friend JJ to design it. So it's like a proper monster computer.
Nice.
Because this one is like 3.5 years old now, and it's starting to creak a little bit.
Yeah.
And I can't stream Rust. And I really want to, because like in terms of community games, when I play that with my Discord lads, those were some we still talk about and post memes from that time, because it was such a good time.
It was
It was just so much fun.
Well, they've added like helicopters and hot air balloons and like,
oh dude, the hot air balloons are so hype.
Electricity. I made an electricity cabinet yesterday. And like fucking hooked up lights, and we got like a wind turbine and solar panels and shit. Like, I like how they've just added a bunch of shit so that you don't have to necessarily just do Rust stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we have a safe base. I could just sit in the base and like fucking organize shit and like, you know, like plan out. Like, we got like food planters indoors, like under lights and stuff. Like, fuck me, there's so much awesome stuff in it now. It's really good. It's really fun.
Well, we had our own server, and we've played on private servers that we've had, and we've set it and all the rest of it. And there is a problem. And the problem is, I would rather play on a pubby server.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like the spread of skill that you get on the pubby servers. There'll be a group of 3 or 4 lads that are like elite Rust players, god gamers at Rust, and taking them down with 30 poorly armed people. That's some goon shit right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Goon shit.
Yeah.
So that was like what we did. We were the orcs, and we would just rush people with whatever we had until they ran out of bullets. We'd be planting sleeping bags just so we could get back in the fight and everything. It was crazy. It was so much fun.
It's fucking awesome when everybody pulls together, though, and then you just have, you're like, okay, we're ready to raid. We got like 30 guys, and you have like 20 chests filled with spears and like axes and shit, and you're like, you know, everybody's...
Because when you've got 30 people, you can just chop down them.
Absolutely. It's crazy. There's too many people for them to shoot, sort of thing. But like,
yeah, it almost breaks the game, and that's fun.
We're on a pubby server because it's populated, so it's a lot more interesting. There's always danger around every corner, sort of thing. And there's a really big base not far from us, just across the lake from us, that's all completely walled off, but they've walled off an entire NPC area, like this like supermarket, so they just get free barrels and stuff all the time or whatever. And they've got like a recycler and whatnot. But they've got this huge helicopter like that fits like, I don't know, 10 people. And every once in a while, you just see this helicopter like fly out of their base and you're like, oh, fuck, I wonder where they're going. And then like maybe 2 minutes later, you just hear in the distance like boom, 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 boom. And I just think like, fuck, those guys are living the life. Like, that is the greatest shit, isn't it? Like, imagine being so organized with all your buds that you have like a fucking helicopter and you just go out on these little like missions and
stuff. We could do that. Like, we're going to do that. Yeah. Fuck it. Once I get the new computer, we're going to do Rust again and build a helicopter. That's our plan.
Yeah.
Build a helicopter.
It's fucking great. We did deep sea diving last night. Like,
diving is great.
Yeah,
fun.
We're diving wrecks and stuff. We're just like, we're collecting scrap so that we can tech up. We got like a pretty safe base. It's all honeycombed and metal and everything. So it's just like, we're just like every once in a while going out, grabbing blueprints, killing people that we see. Like, it's been great. We had a neighbor that we were like harassing like one night called Tony La Bamba. we ended up using like the, you know, those shitty like old pistols. You can shoot a door 45 times with it, a wooden door, and it'll knock it down. So we're just like standing there for 5 minutes shooting this guy's door, and him and his friend are inside like, fuck you guys, fuck you. Like, there's nothing they could do. And then, but they were trolling us the whole time. They had nothing. So like we were like desperate to get in. They're like, fuck you guys, you'll never get in. And we got in, and there's just like a chest with a stone in it, and that's it.
Nice.
Fuck. It was pretty funny.
We had two crews. We had the day crew, and the night crew was all the American guys that would log in and play until, so you'd wake up in the morning and they'd be like, oh, PFLAX, quickly, before I go. And they'd built some new tower, or they'd acquired some new blueprint or something like that. And it was almost like you log in and, you know, wow, you guys have done all this cool stuff. So it gives people like in the community something to do when you're not streaming. They're still playing Rust.
Yeah, I know. It's great. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's such a good game.
We've had a good time with it. So
shout out to Rust.
Yeah.
There you go. We talked a lot about stuff today. Thank you for listening. This is a bit of a short one, but we'll be back next week with more podcasts.
Yeah.
Until then, thank you.
We'll be back next week.
We'll be back.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.